SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. Happy Friday. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am Ashley Nicole Moss, and I have Brandon Marshall, who tried to do what I do, and that is come into the studio last minute, but he can't do it quite as well as I can. I also have Omar Kelly in the building. And listen, we have so much to get into tonight. The Tennessee Titans are our featured team on Countdown to Kickoff. Dak Prescott, my Dak Prescott, QB1, has a message for those who doubt him and those Dallas Cowboys.
Brandon, what did he say?
We'll find out. Brandon's BFF, Russell Wilson, speaks after signing his new deal.
Don't deny it.
Listen, Shaq.
It's not my BFF.
It's his BFF.
It's my man crush.
Oh, okay. That's even better.
Y'all communicate. Y'all talk all the time. So don't say it's a crush. It's a BFF.
It's a bromance. And Russell Wilson speaks. Oh, we did that already. Look, he's distracting me. Listen, Shaq is the latest NBA vet to lay into Kevin Durant. Of course, you know how much he loves KD and giving him a hard time. And we're going to go ahead and preview Monday's I Am Athlete podcast. And of course, it's going to be with Stephen A. Smith. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. I'm sure he's going to have a lot of smoke for my New York Knicks. But, you know, it is what it is.
Call them trash.
Listen, but first and foremost, breaking news. Today's big news. The college football playoff is finally expanding to 12 teams. But in 2026. So yeah, that's how they get, how they get you.
They got to sell the rights to it. Come
that's
on.
How they get you.
Listen, they got to get billions of dollars from this.
Yeah, I know.
Take some time.
The college football playoffs board of managers unanimously voted Friday today to expand the CFP to 12 teams in 2026, but it's encouraging the sports commissioners to try and implement it as soon as 2024. The board's 11 presidents and chancellors approved the original 12-team model, which includes the 6 highest ranked conference champions and 6 at-large teams, the board announced on Friday. Now, this is something that fans have been asking for a while. Mm. So, Omar, I'll start with you. How are you feeling about, you know, the 12-team playoff? Is it good? Is it bad? Are you indifferent?
It's good. It's a stepping stone. I thought they'd go to 8 next, but I'm glad they went to 12. The true format, in my mind, should be 16, but we're taking baby steps here. If the lower level, the what once was the 1AA college football, can get a playoff, why can't the big level college football? Mm-hmm. It all comes down to money. And ultimately, I think the more the better in the playoff systems. We have these fake bowl systems. Why? Why are they necessary outside of money? These bowl games, I mean, yes, a playoff system is going to water down the bowl system.
Right.
But come on, let's not pretend like the bowl system isn't already watered down as is. And everything must evolve. Back in the day, didn't we take cabs? Now we have Uber. What happened to cabs? Well, you know, back in the 1960s, there were ice delivery men before there were refrigerators. Everything must evolve, and that includes college football.
Absolutely. I agree. Listen, it's definitely going to be interesting. I think that it's going to make it even more fun to watch. I think we're also going to get a nice mix of teams that are going to be in the mix every single year. Obviously, you'll have your top. You'll have your top dogs. You'll have your top dogs. The same faces, the same teams. Mm-hmm. Bama.
They're going to let a Cincinnati, a UConn in.
Wow,
every
Cincinnati.
Once
see,
I'm glad that you said that, because when I'm looking at this, it's hard for me to talk about college football because I went to the University of Central Florida before it was UCF today. Like,
yes,
we were the Golden Knights.
Is it drastically better than it was?
It is. Stop
I'm
it.
Just saying.
But it is, though, because like we never even went to a bowl game. Right. So we were UCF Golden Knights. Now it's UCF Knights. Right. That's first. We won a national championship as well.
Come on.
And if this was in place,
you would have had a chance.
It would have been real. But no, I'm saying like
y'all would have had play for it.
But anyways, Omar, you talked about Cincinnati. You brought it up. And the reason why I say it's hard, because I didn't go to a Power 5 So I feel like I've never had that college football experience that we talk about on all these major networks, these outlets, whether it's SiriusXM or if it's at ESPN, because it was just different. Like, we were grinding. We were trying to figure it out. Like, we didn't have, you know, the type of, you know, stipends that they had. Like, we were hustling. We had jobs in the off season, yeah, right? But the UCFs of the world, the Cincinnati that you mentioned, the BYUs, these teams that have these, you know, 4 or 5 year runs or this one special year.
Absolutely.
This is the people, these mid majors, that's really going to benefit the most from it. So I love it because it gives, you know, these other schools opportunities to really participate and participate at a high level. The landscape of college football is changing. You still have the Alabamas of the world, even Clemson's, you know, that still have this stronghold on football. But man, you look at the University of Florida, you look at Florida State, you look at the University of Miami. We can stay right in the state.
They didn't even come back to the pack.
Yeah, we can stay right in this state. Oh, like, it ain't the same.
Absolutely.
They right. When we was right coming up, when mm-hmm. we was coming up, Florida State, Florida, UM, please, kids would sell their souls to go there. Now they like, please, I'll go to UCF. I'll go to Cincinnati.
Absolutely. I covered Florida State and I covered University of Miami as a beat, both when they were at their height of the power structure.
Damn, how old are you?
I am, girl.
Yeah, and I tried to be nice. I tried to be nice. I was like, when we was coming up, but really, you know, he's the generation before.
Listen,
he's talking about the 80s you. That's
no, I'm talking about the 2000 you. Not the 80s.
That's a little bit more. Okay, I can give you that.
You might have been born then.
In the 2000s. God, I would hope so.
but listen. And those programs, the era of college football has changed drastically. Now you don't need to go to those major programs to get to the NFL, whereas you used to have to sign there as a recruit, wait your 3 years, finally get on the field. And the development that you had in those 3 years, okay, would make you a better prospect. Now you could go to Buffalo right away, mm-hmm. start and play 3 seasons and get to the NFL. Right. And be drafted in the first round.
Right.
Those things, you know, that's the reality of what college football is.
And then don't forget about HBCU. Look what Deion Sanders have done over the last 2 years with Jackson State, right? So you got kids saying, you know what, I'll go there and play as well. Just to piggyback off of that.
High-level recruits doing it.
There you go.
Do either of you buy into the narrative or the argument, rather, that was presented by people who are not in favor of expanding the playoff system within college football, that adding more teams dilutes the significance of what it means to go ahead and enter playoffs?
Well, let me, can I
go for
jump
it
real quick, and I'll be quick here. It goes to what you said earlier. It's like, you have to evolve. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's always going to be people that's like, we love things the way they used to be, or we want to keep them exactly like this.
There's always a back in my day.
Yeah,
right. But like the reality is, we can make it better. Mm-hmm. It is. Now, is it going to be perfect? Probably not. You know, it's hard to get anything perfect. The reality is, you can't get anything perfect.
I mean, is a four team system perfect right now?
Correct. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they're haters, Ashley. Oh, okay. They're haters.
Okay. Omar?
I remember when I covered the University of Miami, back when they were a juggernaut.
What year was this?
2000. I covered them from 2000 to 2007.
I'm just trying to get you to date yourself a little bit. Go ahead.
I'm 45. I had no shame.
Okay.
Listen.
Black don't crack. There you go, Omar. Talk to him.
And I remember talking to coaches. The coaches built a structure for me of a 16-game playoff system. This is a 16-game playoff
back then.
Back then, they wanted it back then when they were the number one program.
Should it have been 16 instead of 12?
It'll probably evolve to that once the money is there. Once they figured out how to make, all they got to do is figure out how to make money off it. And once they do that, they'll be fine.
Mm. Okay. So and, I just yelled at Ed because he changed it to college football while Serena is playing possibly her last game. I said the audacity. Put it her back. When
does she come on?
She's on now.
She's on now?
Yes.
Yeah. How's she doing?
Oh, the game just started and Ed changed the third round.
Yeah, the match just started.
I'm sorry. The match just started put BYU on. Like, I really care.
Let's do that. Hey, what's our number here? Because we should have some callers come in. I want to get y'all thoughts on Serena Williams. And, you know, I want you guys to give her flowers. Let's give her flowers to celebrate her. But also, and I hate doing this, right? Because it should be all positive. And I know this is going to be a little, it's going to be an interesting conversation, but I would love to have this, get y'all perspective on her being the GOAT. And when I say GOAT, I mean the greatest athlete of all time, not the greatest. I just want to hear from a caller or two. Is that okay?
The caller line is 888-623-3646 or 888-MAD-DOG-6.
Let's do this. Let's see. I want to hear where our callers rank Serena Williams as one of the greatest athletes of all time. You got Tom Brady. You got Michael Jordan. You know, you got LeBron James. You got Serena Williams. You got
Bill Russell.
Yeah, you got you got Tiger Woods. She's up there. So I would love to hear their perspective.
Well, I'm just going to say this for people who are not watching it or are about to turn it on. I grew up born and raised in New York City, and Arthur Ashe was not too far where I lived at one point. Shout out to Forest Hill. Shout out to Queens. And I have never in my life seen that stadium look the way it does tonight.
Really?
I mean, it is packed from the actual arena, stadium, whatever you want to call it, and the outside gates of people who could not get it. It looks like,
you know what it looks like?
It looks like what the
NBA finals.
No, it looks like what the train stations looked like when the Yankees were in their heyday and everyone was going to watch them in the postseason. It looked like that. I mean, the train stations back when the Yankees were the Yankees.
The Mets, too.
Coming. We don't speak about the Mets. we don't acknowledge the Mets around me. But back when the Yankees were running New York and we're heading back in that direction, the train stations were so packed. The subways were so packed trying to get to Yankee Stadium. Arthur Ashe looks like that tonight. It's absolutely incredible the impact that she has had on this game. It's pandemonium. It's something that you sometimes only see in movies and documentaries of some of the greatest. I mean, whether she wins or she loses tonight, I'm rooting for a win. But whether she wins or she loses tonight, I mean, the scene at Arthur Ashe Stadium right now is absolutely incredible.
And listen, that was beautiful.
Thank you
for that. Go Mets.
No, we don't do that.
Look, I went to one Yankee game when I was playing for the Jets, and it was phenomenal. It was a great experience.
I'm surprised you knew how to get there from New Jersey.
No, I was in Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn, and I took the train.
You'd have
been proud of me.
I don't blame you. New Jersey sucks, but go ahead.
And I took the train. But, like, so I don't know how, you know, the picture that you tried to paint as far as when the Yankees were in their prime and all of that other stuff, what I saw was that, like, NBA finals, right, where – you know, you have the camera pan outside and, you know, you have all these people just sitting out there knowing that they're not going to go in.
That wasn't in New York, though, because unfortunately we haven't been there for a while. So
what?
New York, the NBA finals?
No, I'm just saying, period. Like, even like when you're watching the game before the game comes on, I'm talking about what you described.
I was trying to relate it to like true New York sports. So I didn't mention the NBA finals.
Everything is about New York.
I know. God.
Arthur Ashe is in Queens. That was my correlation between the two. The only reason I related it to the Yankees was because it's not like I could have related it to, you know, any other sports team in New York. It's been a long time. I don't acknowledge.
Do you believe in the Jets
or the Giants? I don't acknowledge those teams. They play in New
Jersey. If you had to pick one,
like my life depends on it. I'm obviously going with the Jets.
Yes. J-E-T-S.
I would literally eat a bag of Brandon's toenails before I put on a Giants jersey and rooted for that team. It's that deep. But listen, guys, this is I Am Athlete Tonight. Ashley Nicole Moss, Brandon Marshall, Omar Kelly. And back to college football. We have a bunch of matchups that are set for this weekend. We have Oregon at Georgia. We have Notre Dame at Ohio State and Cincinnati at Arkansas. Omar, any of those stand out to you as something that you're looking forward to?
I would love to see how Georgia rebounds to losing 15 players who are drafted. I mean, are they the next powerhouse program where they reload like an Alabama does? So that's something that I'm curious about, especially since they're playing a high level team like Oregon. Since when did all these college programs just begin the year playing high level teams like Notre Dame, number 5, playing number 2, Ohio State? Now, I will say this. I don't pay too much attention to the rankings in college football. That's like ranking NFL teams. And before, you know, they even play their first game of the season. You know, I'm sure you would put Dallas in the top five.
Always do. How about them Cowboys?
No, you need to stop this.
But it makes no sense. You have to see how teams sort of put themselves together and see how they endure injuries. But yeah, but to see these big level, high level teams, Oregon playing Alabama, Cincinnati playing Arkansas, those are some games that that do interest me.
Okay. Brandon,
I ain't even gonna hold y'all.
He doesn't care.
No, it's just like I gotta be real, you know what I mean? I don't watch college football. I don't even watch UCF, the national champs back in the day, a couple years ago. I just don't watch college football.
How many years?
You know, like dudes, if yes, we had dudes on the show, dudes knows everybody, like all this teams, all the players, and he does a phenomenal job calling live games. But like, man, college football is just not my thing. I don't think I've ever since I left UCF in 2006, I don't think I've ever woken up on a Saturday or saw a game on a Thursday, Friday, whenever they play during the week, and said, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch this
game.
Even
when they were having their undefeated run?
No, UCF is different. But even that year, bro, even that year when UCF went on that run, I probably watched two games, full games, and one of them was live, was in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
Well, okay, so are there any teams outside of UCF, Miami, or my alma mater, FAU? How about them Owls? Owls up, go ahead. That you guys are interested.
Our listeners are like, Ashley,
y'all
Scott.
Never heard
what's
of
FAU?
Oh, come on.
What is FAU?
Come on. Everyone knows. Well, I mean, FAU had a moment.
Yeah, no, they never had a moment.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't win.
Yes, we
they
did.
Had one player when, Was it T.Y. Hilton?
That's FIU.
When Alfred Morris was at FAU, we had a moment.
The running back?
Yes, we had a moment.
No, Howard Schnellenberger.
Yes, and then when what's his face came and coaches for a couple of seasons, we had a moment. What's his name? I'm drawing.
You don't even know his name.
He coaches Ole Miss.
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, we had a moment. Listen, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not gonna go into too much detail, but Lane Kiffin had a time in Boca. I'll tell you that much.
Hold on, what does that mean?
I'm just, he enjoyed.
He liked that Boca community.
He enjoyed the Boca environment immensely. We'll leave it there.
Spill the tea.
Defamation of character is real, folks.
You want an inside look at the NFL with two future Hall of Famers? Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go with Tom Brady, Larry Fitzgerald, and Jim Gray returns for the 2022 season.
What a blessing it's been to be a part of football history. Tom's experience always shows up in big games.
That means in-depth football talk and the best guests in the podcast world.
Come see me, and now you're really Hall of Fame.
Come see Uncle Snoop in the studio.
Hear the best of Let's Go, dropping Mondays on your podcast feed up until the season premiere on September 5th. Download and subscribe right now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcast.
I Am Athlete Tonight presents Countdown to Kickoff.
Much love to Titans Radio Network for that soundbite of Dontrell Hillard's touchdown run, and also the soundbite of Brian. We are doing our Countdown to Kickoff segment. We're talking about the Tennessee Titans. Listen, the Tennessee Titans, they lost tailback Derrick Henry to a Jones fracture in his right foot in week 8, but the Titans never lost a beat. Like, they fit.
Like, you scared me. I'm like, right now?
No, not right now. Finishing with a 12-5 record, Henry returned for the playoffs, but the Titans ended up losing to the Bengals in the second round. What are you expecting from this team with a healthy Derrick Henry, that not only healthy, you know, in the regular season, but the entire regular season, and hopefully if they make it into the playoffs?
All right, the division. Who's in the division? You got the Colts, the Jaguars.
Shady.
Jacksonville, Houston.
I said he's shady.
Houston, right. Okay, so they'll – Jacksonville, Colts. Colts will be tough.
It's only
they'll,
one team.
They'll probably – listen, the Colts are going to be tough, but they're the favorites to win the division. When you go into the football season, that's the first objective, right? That's what we're talking about. Let's win a division, because if you win a division, you're getting into the playoffs. You get into the playoffs, you have a chance. Mm-hmm. And this team, right, if healthy, has an opportunity – to be a real contender.
Colts quarterback is Matty Ice now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's why they got a real chance. I'm telling you, they got a real chance too, the Colts.
It's like Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill.
Hold on. But listen though.
Let that Dolphins hurt go, Omar. It's over.
They can run the ball.
That's a waste of right? 7 years of my life.
They can run the ball and they can play defense, and they have an extremely, yes, extremely talented coach. He's smart. He knows how to push the guys. You go back to remember what he had. He talking about, oh yeah, I didn't send my guys to stomp on the Ravens. Was it the Ravens to stomp on the logo in the middle? He did that because that team wasn't playing well and it was all down, and he had to do something to spice it up. And that was the moment where it changed the course of that season. And I'm saying that because that coach is special.
Mike great variable. Yeah.
He is special.
And reigning NFL but coach of the year.
All of this though. You know how I hate to say it because I like Ryan Tannehill. I think he's a nice guy.
I know you do. I know you do.
And I think, well, you know, they traded me Miami because they was like, we about to draft
a young quarterback and you'll abuse him.
Right, correct. So they was like, we gonna send you to Chicago back with Jay Cutler. But anyways, look, for them to get it done, they're gonna have to go with Malik Willis, this young quarterback, right? And Omar, you know, remember when they drafted him, right? There was that soundbite that came out. He's like, hey, we're competing. What can you do? You have that now?
Yeah.
Can you read that?
He said, we're competing against each other. We're watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. This is Ryan Tannehill. I don't think it's my job to mentor him.
Ew.
But if he learns from me along the way, then that's great. I have no problems with Malik. I'm just not basically going to teach him. listen, and I'm not surprised that Ryan Tannehill said that, because I covered Ryan Tannehill for 7 years and I think he's a decent human being and he's a decent quarterback. And I'm proud of what he's accomplished in Tennessee.
There's a butt in here.
I'm proud of what he's accomplished. I'm proud of what he's accomplished in Tennessee. He won that division. I mean, he won the number one seed in the AFC by himself because they didn't have Derrick Henry. That's so you can't even say.
And the receivers was banged up.
Yes.
Right? Because you had Julio Jones was on one hamstring and he was in and out. And you had A.J. Brown banged up.
Yeah. So you can't take anything away from him. However, I'm going to say this. He has never earned anything. He's always been given most things, except for when he eventually got handed a job over Marcus Mariota. And now this is the first opportunity he's going to have to earn and keep a quarterback position.
Well, that's why I wanted you to read that, because, you know, in that moment, he was very vulnerable.
Yes, he was.
He was very vulnerable. And it was like that was.
No, he was selfish. I don't know if he was vulnerable.
It's vulnerable. Like, come on, as a competitor, if you draft a guy, you know what? Guess what? I'm gonna kick your ass. I'm going to teach you everything I know and I'm going to kick your ass. And also there's like these unwritten rules. And if you really think about it, it doesn't make any sense. And it's like, he's right. Like it's a $16 billion industry. You know, quarterbacks are getting paid $50 million a year.
Yes.
You're drafting a guy. You want me to give him everything I know to potentially take
earning? That's to be a good teammate.
Right.
That's to be a good teammate.
So it doesn't make a lot of sense, but there is an unwritten rule, and it's not even at the coach's level or ownership. It's in the locker room.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, yo, these young guys, I got to give back. I got to pour into them because it's still a fraternity, right? So in this moment, When he came out and said that, he caught a lot of flack.
He did, and he deserved it.
See, but that's debatable.
But before we move on to the next point or make your counterpoint, we look at somebody like Aaron Rodgers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's not, you know, embracing.
He said the same thing.
Who's not embracing his wide receivers the way that he did with Jordy Nelson, that he did with Randall Cobb, that he did with those.
He didn't embrace Jordan Love.
And we chastised him. We chastised him when he didn't embrace Jordan Love. We chastised Brett Favre
when he didn't embrace
Aaron Rodgers. So why is it that when Tannehill does it, there's an excuse for it? Like, oh, it's really not his job, but it's always been the next quarterback's job to embrace the quarterback that comes after him.
That's the most fragile position.
Yes.
And the most fragile mind in sports. Mm-hmm. Right. Because you got to think about it. Like, I don't know why, but these quarterbacks, you got to walk on eggshells.
Absolutely. You should know more than most. Yeah. Listen,
I had 17 of them.
That's nuts.
But
true stat.
I've never understood why teams
playing on bad teams.
I have never understood why teams always feel like they can never have a quarterback compete. Why can't quarterbacks compete for a job? Why can't they actually go out there and compete for a job and may the best man win?
Yeah, because it's like, that's the guy. You understand? Like, and it's like, and there's so much on a quarterback. That's why they get paid the most money, right? Like, they do a lot. And it's just like, that guy has to be, they have so much going through the head. You got 30 seconds, right? You got to get the play in. You got to get the guys lined up, right? You got to read the defense, right? You got to manipulate the defense, right? You got to feel what's going on in the pocket. You got to feel what's going on in the secondary with the pass rush, et cetera, et cetera. You got to make the right read. Oh, fuck, the first one's not there. Let me go to second. The second one's not that third, right? Or you get back to the line. You got to set the protection. I didn't even talk about that. Right. Oh, they're giving us a three high look. Let me get to play number two. Let me get us to the best play that can win. Like, there's so much there. And so, you know, these guys, man, you know, it's like, that is the guy. It's not even, I always say, like, they're not even like real teammates in a sense, man. They're like coaches. I'm telling, it's different. I'm telling you, man, it's hard to explain why their mindset is the way it is, but when they walk in the building, it's like, oh, that's QB1. It's special privileges.
You ain't had that feeling with Chad Henne.
No.
Because like, and then there's guys like that.
There's a lot of guys like that.
But then there's guys like that, and it's like, they don't get those privileges. But when you are, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right. I ain't give them that love.
Well, listen, let's dive into the quarterback a little bit, because Ryan Tannehill, as we're discussing, remains Tennessee's starting quarterback. But the Titans also drafted Liberty quarterback Malik Willis in the third round. And the rookie quarterback had an impressive exhibition season, so showcasing both his athleticism and his ability to make things happen, scrambling out of the pocket. So knowing what we've seen from him and the relationship, or at least the perceived relationship between the two quarterbacks, is there any possibility that we see him get some playing time in lieu of Ryan Tannehill this season?
I think game 8 is my cutoff point for how long Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. If they're not as hot as, if they're not like the front runners in that division, they're going to pull the plug and they're going to go with the young kid.
Listen, you know, Coach Vrabel is a football guy, right? And that's really good for this team. And the reason why that's important is because in these first 8 weeks that you're talking about, if they don't start hot, you know, everybody and a mama going to be saying, put in that young boy, Malik Willis, that showed us what he had in those three preseason games. Like, it was phenomenal. If you guys haven't watched Malik Willis yet, you need to go on YouTube and watch this guy. This dude is next level, and he's going to be a star in the NFL soon, okay? Now, let me get back to Coach Vrabel, right? Because Coach Vrabel is going to – he could potentially be in the situation in these first 8 weeks that you're talking about, and the fans are going to be crazy. Ownership is going to be saying, put the young boy in. But the problem may not be Ryan Tannehill. The problem could be the receivers go down again. The problem could be that, like, 2 years ago, the defense went from a really good defense to a fucking 32-ranked defense in the National Football League. And he's going to do what? He's going to stand pack. He's going to ride the ship. He's going to make sure that the guys stay focused. Now, if Ryan Tannehill isn't playing good, you talk about 8 weeks, brother. It could be 3 weeks.
Well, Omar, before you make your point, let's talk about, you know, the wide receivers. The Titans traded A.J. Brown to the Eagles during the draft and selected his replacement, former Arkansas standout Treylon Burks, in the first round to serve as his replacement, as I mentioned. Tennessee also landed Robert Woods from the L.A. Rams via a trade. So with that, we always talk about the relationship between a quarterback and a wide receiver, how difficult it is to recreate that telepathy, to do it so quickly, that chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see the situation playing out?
I think they set Ryan Tannehill up for failure.
Okay.
I do. You have chemistry, a bond with A.J. Brown. and then you trade the guy that I have a bond with, and then give me a rookie, an unproven rookie? Like, come on. And you talking about you want me to succeed? I took a team to the AFC Championship game without my star running back. And now you're saying, okay, do it again without my number one receiver? You set me up for failure.
Hey, let me show you something, Ashley. Look, I'm going into my Instagram account. Mm-hmm. Okay, boom. Just follow me here.
Was Russell Wilson DMing you?
No, he's not DMing me.
He's like, all right, look, sorry,
this is my save.
You.
Look, I go into saved, right? Mm-hmm. Boom. What do I have here? What does this say? This one little file. What does that say?
I can't see. Move your thumb.
Oh, my goodness.
It says sleepers.
Sleepers. Now, I'm going to open it up. Who is this guy?
He has a picture of Kyle Phillips.
Oh, my goodness. He is a sleeper wide receiver. Y'all want to talk about wide receivers? Omar Kelly. I'm telling you right now, this kid is a freaking stud muffin. This kid, Kyle Phillips, because you're talking about, oh, he doesn't have him.
Okay.
Oh, brother.
Rookie?
Brother. Yeah. Kyle Phillips, I'm telling y'all right now, I'm putting the league on notice. Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis have them a guy. And then you got the young guy, you also talked about Woods, who's a veteran, and he's bouncing back, and he's going to have a good year. I don't know if he's going to have a great year. It's a new system. And also, let's see how he's going to bounce back from just the injury.
Round receiver from UCLA? Yeah, right.
Omar Kelly.
Yes, sir.
Omar Kelly. When I tell you he's nice, he's
train him
special.
Here?
No, just watch the highlights. Watch the film. Just everybody out there. Okay, Ashley.
I'm listening.
Kyle Phillips, sleeper.
All right.
Sleeper.
Okay.
So you talk about that position. No, they good. I'm telling you, they're good.
Fellas, final thoughts on this Tennessee Titans team. How far can they actually go?
I thought you were going to ask about Serena.
No, we'll dive into Serena a little bit after this. How far? Super Bowl. Wow.
Yeah, Super Bowl.
Okay. If things go right, they just lost Harold Landry. I don't know how long he's going to be sidelined. So that's a huge hit to the defense. That was one of the big free agents free agents that they re-signed. But Grable has defense. Grable is a coach of defense.
Grable?
Vrabel.
Oh, so you're saying Grable.
Vrabel? I don't know how to.
Vrabel.
While we dissect that, before I move on to the break and dive into that, I actually, one of these factor cap, that's a segment that we do, where we give two things and we figure out whether that sentence is fact or it's cap. The last one is standing out to me. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Brandon Marshall will smoke T.O. during their foot race. Is that fact or cap, Omar Kelly?
Listen, he had me doing two workouts today, so I'm going to have to go with fact.
hey, I got on the scale today. That thing said 253. I played at 230. 230 to 235 was my range. I got to drop. I'm going to drop 15 to 20 over 6 weeks. He had these people call me like 7 in the morning. I'm laying in bed. And these dudes call me and they're like, hey, when you want to set up the race for T.O.? I'm like, first off, who the hell are you? And T.O., why is T.O. giving you my number? He just said, you talking and he ready. Y'all said 6 weeks and he's ready to set the day. I hung up on him. So that's how my day started. And I guess this is how my day's ending. I got to drop 15 to 20, and T.O. has no chance. I'm telling y'all. And if we were in the prime of our career, he would smoke me. T.O. is that guy. He's like that. But right now, okay, T.O. 68. Okay? Is he 68 or 67?
He's 50, like, two.
Same thing. Same thing. No way. And then in the last year, this is what people don't understand. And I've been maintaining since. I haven't played ball going on 3 years, I think it is.
Yeah.
Right? When I was done, okay, I was still hitting 20 miles per hour out there with the GPS. I'm him now. I'm still powerful. So I like me. He's just got to activate.
He's 48.
Same thing. I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating.
Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.